Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. We like to start our class from the very beginning with a confession, because words matter, and the Lord works with our words. And so before we even read a scripture or pray a prayer, do anything, we put our faith on that we are getting built up. Amen. And if you do that, you immediately connect with the Holy Spirit and give Him a right to start ministering to you, not halfway through the class when you warm up, but right now. So, Father, we thank You so much that You are teaching us and You are causing us to grow and develop and become stronger in faith and in following You. We ask for utterance and ears to hear and answers for today. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been now for weeks on our series that we're calling Faith for Provision. And our focus is that abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why do we say that? It is written many places, many times, that God has revealed He wants our needs met. He wants us blessed, not cursed. He wants us in plenty, not lack. He's a good Father. Yes. He's a good God. His will is abundance. And faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. So we're giving one after another 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Why don't you just say that out loud one time? Say, abundant provision,
is always
God's will, for us all. Say it again. Abundant provision, is always God's will, for me. Always. He doesn't change. So His will doesn't change. Is He able? Does He have the resources, the power, the ability to meet all our needs according to His riches in glory, as the Scripture says, by Christ Jesus? So we begin. Our first reason was, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack. We spent quite a bit of time on that. And then we talked about the goodness of God, the fatherhood of God, the creation of God. More recent times, we talked about the God of restoration, about His provision in the wilderness. We talked about the promised land. We talked about the blessing of the covenant. And now we're talking about being redeemed from the curse. This is our 18th reason now in our study of 30. So if you have not been with us, it would help you to get these previous lessons. Go online to faithschool.org and you'll see all of our hundreds of lessons there on faith, and in some other languages too. If English is not your first language, your language may be there, or for your kinfolks or friends. No cost, no charge. Take advantage of it. Feed and get your spirit built up. The people that have heard all the previous 18, I mean, like some of these guys around here, man, they're just brimming with faith. They're just like, whew, man, I'm gonna believe for it all. I'm gonna believe. You heard them, right? So that needs to be you. And if you're not that stirred, it's because you hadn't heard everything that came before. So go get it, faithschool.org. Look in Galatians 3 again, if you would, please. Galatians 3 tells us in verse 13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Now, obviously, this is a big deal, recorded in the New Testament like this, emphasized in the New Testament, New Covenant. But like we said, many church-going people, if you ask them, what are you redeemed from, they wouldn't give this answer. And then if you said, well, what is the curse of the law, they wouldn't know what that is either. And the problem is, many think it doesn't matter if you know or not. Well, how many think it mattered that this verse is in the Bible, in the New Testament? So this is obviously a big deal. What is it? What do I need to know about it? And so he goes on to say, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. This is the heart of redemption, substitution. Jesus took our place. Our place was a bad place. We, all human beings, had sinned grievously and come short of the glory of God. And the wages and penalty of sin is death, not just physical death, spiritual death, which includes physical death, and all the curse that goes with it, and the death and destruction and separation from God. This was depicted by the master being treated like the worst of the worst criminals. He was beat on, spit on, crown of thorns jammed in his scalp, hit with rods, berated, cussed, scourged, and crucified. Crucifixion was for the worst criminals, the worst. It was execution by the most extreme means. And Jesus let them take him and let them do this to him. Why? Because it outwardly portrayed the guilt, the judgment, the condemnation, and of what was happening spiritually. He took the curse and became accursed, so that we might get, what the next verse say? The blessing. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, then we don't even know what Jesus did for us if we don't understand the blessing and the curse. So go back again to Deuteronomy 28. You'll find a lot of detail here in this chapter. You find it also in Leviticus 26 and some other places. But you'll see that we studied this already when we talked about the blessing of the covenant, how he said if you'd listen to God, you'd obey him. And we talked about how you do that in the New Testament. Three things. Class, y'all remember any of that?
Yes.
How do we fulfill these requirements? The Bible said if you walk in love, you have fulfilled the law. And if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law, right? So we mentioned in faith, love, and being led by the Spirit. That's how we fulfill all the commandment requirements in the New Testament. And so he said, beginning in the first of the 28th chapter, he talked about if you listen to the Lord, if you hearken to him diligently, listen to the voice of the Lord, do what he tells you, all these blessings would come on you. And I mean, it includes healing, it includes protection, it includes increase. And for instance, in verse 8, the Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses. You know, you don't need multiple storage places if you have nothing.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. And the Lord used to be very serious about the blessing on your storehouse. When God commands something, you think something would happen?
Yes. Yes.
He commanded what?
Blessing.
Blessing on you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand to. And the Lord will bless you in the land that he gives you. Verse 11, the Lord will make you plenteous in goods. Well, that's stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Goods. In the fruit of your body, the fruit of your cattle, fruit of your ground, in the land. Verse 12, he'll open up his good treasure, the heaven, give rain in your land in the season. Bless all the work of your hand. You'll lend to many nations, and you shall not borrow. Because he goes on to say, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You got so much money, you can loan to many. And you don't need to borrow. Oh, come on, can you see this? And you'll be above only, and you will not be beneath. But he comes back to this, if you'll listen. Right? And we talked about this yesterday. Do I still need to listen today? Yes. Yes, like we said, how do I fulfill the keeping all the commandments? Faith, love, and led by the Spirit. There's so much going on around us. There's so much going on in this world spiritually that we're not even aware of. And certainly, how much do we know about what's coming tomorrow or the future? The only way to get it right is to be led by the Spirit. Because He knows everything, the one who's inside of us. And He's not going to explain everything to you, what's happening and how and why. He will just prompt you, do this. Get ready for this. Don't go there today. Right? Do go. Leave now. Come on, can you see this? And the only way that you and I will get this right, we're going to have to pray some. Uh-oh, did I lose the class? We're going to have to pray. Right? We're going to have to pray some. And we're going to have to pay attention. When the Lord prompts us and shows us something and gives, this is not trying to hear voices. This is not being led by hot flashes and cold flashes and goosebumps. The Spirit of God is inside of us and He bears witness with our spirit, not just our head. And so if we will trust in the Lord with all of our heart, and don't lean to our own understanding, but follow what He's given us inside, we'll always be at the right place, at the right time, doing the right thing happening for us and with us. But this is not optional if we're going to experience the full measure of the blessing and stay out of the curse. Got to listen. So he talks about that... You'll be the head, you won't be the tail. But verse 15, he says, but it'll come to pass if what? If you won't listen to the voice of the Lord your God to observe to do His commandments and statutes that I command you this day, all these curses will come on you. And then exactly what he said about the blessing, you hear about the curse. Exactly opposite. Cursed you be in the city, cursed in the field, cursed the basket, cursed the store, cursed the fruit of your body, fruit of your increase, cursed when you come in, cursed when you go out. So what? What is this? And is the curse still in the earth?
Yes.
It is. We looked at this a few lessons back. Notice that the prophet saw, the Lord showed him a great scroll that was over. He said, what is that? He said, it's the curse that goes over the whole earth. We don't know it, but we live in a dark, death-filled, sin-filled, curse-filled place. We don't know it. We got nothing else to compare it to. This is all we've ever known. But God did not create the heavens and earth like it is today. He created it with no sin, no curse, no death. We don't even know what that's like. A place where there's no death, where the grass doesn't die, the flowers don't die, the animals don't die, the trees don't die. We've never been in a place like that. But believers are going to find out what it's like because there's coming a new heaven and a new earth wherein is no curse. And the Bible said there won't be any more crying, suffering, dying. Oh, no more sorrow. Glory to God. I mean, the future we have to look forward to. No hospitals, no cemeteries, no funerals, no aging, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, no dying. Won't it be wonderful?
Yes.
Something to look forward to.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But I say that to contrast it with here and now. Here and now, we're living in a cursed, dark, death place. But even though we're in the world, we are a different group. We're not of the world. And the scripture talks about that sin and death will not have dominion over us as believers. We walk in the spirit of life. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And we live in the blessing. In fact, we can even have days of heaven on the earth. Now, that don't mean that you'll forget you're on the earth and think you've already gone to heaven. No, it ain't going that far. But you'll get to taste of some of the goodness of God, that you're actually getting a taste of heaven here on earth. Did you know that people are getting a taste of hell here on earth? People use that phrase and they throw it around, hell on earth, but actually it's legitimate. People are experiencing, because hell is not just, it is a physical place, but it's not just a location, it's a condition. It is a place without God. And without God is no light, no life, no peace, no joy. So what do you got? Anguish, fear, horror, death. That's reason enough not to go to hell.
Right?
And so the reason I'm talking about this is because we mentioned this before, but in the King James, for instance, it says, verse 20, that the Lord will send on you cursing. Verse 21, make the pestilence cleave. The Lord will smite you with consumption. The Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt. The Lord will cause you to be smitten. We looked at that in previous times and thought, well, how are we to understand this if God's a good God? Is it His will that He is cursing people and bringing death and destruction? What we saw is that God is the righteous judge of all the earth. And to say He does this, He did it in the sense of passing judgment that allowed the destroyer access. But it does not please Him. And it is not His will. And like we said before, if it's in the curse, it could never be the will of God for anybody. So if it's in the curse and it's happening, it's not God's will. I mean, to say it's God's will is to say disobedience and rebellion and not listening is God's will, because those are the two that are connected. Blessing is the will of God.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But also, listening to God is the will of God. Now, go with me, if you would, in the scriptures here to Deuteronomy 31. You're there close by. Just go to Deuteronomy 31 and you'll see what's actually happening here. 31 and 15, the whole chapter is good, but let's just start at verse 15. Said the Lord appeared in the tabernacle, a pillar of cloud, and pillar of cloud stood over the door. And the Lord said, behold, talking to Moses, you'll sleep with your fathers, and this people will rise and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whether they go to be among them, and will forsake me and do what?
Break
my covenant which I have made with them. Moses is right at the end of his physical life and his ministry of leading these folks for these past 40 years. He's just about to go up the mount and die and leave. And the Lord is telling him that he already sees and knows that they're not going to listen to him and that they are going to break his covenant. And he said, verse 17, my anger will be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them and hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured. Can you see what's happening? The curse is already in the earth. And if God is not protecting you, huh? Then you will be consumed by it. If God is not helping you, providing for you, well, does God owe them protection, provision, keeping as they are rejecting him and replacing him with other gods? And I mean, we haven't understood fully what they did. One of the things they did is they replaced God with gods called Baalim and Ashtoreth. And part of the activities of worship of these heathen gods was as defiled and debauched as possibly could be. I mean, anything you could think of, and a lot of things you shouldn't think of. That's what they did, including sacrificing and burning their own children in human sacrifice, burning them in fire. That's the kind of thing. Well, how long would you put up with? God said, those are my kids.
That's right.
Right? How long would you put up with it? And God doesn't have to try to destroy them. All he's saying is, they don't want me. They have broken my covenant. They've replaced me with this. So they are on their own. No help from me. So what does that mean? The curse is going to consume them. Right? Without him, without his help. Can you see that's what he's saying? He said, I'll forsake them and I'll hide my face from them and they'll be devoured. They shall be devoured. Well, who's going to? It's not that God's getting them. He's just not protecting them. Many evils and troubles shall befall them. And so they will say in that day, are not all these evils come upon us? Why? Why? Because our God is not among us. See, this is so big. So many people today, they're blaming everything on God. Everything that happens, everything that doesn't happen, well, it's somehow the mysterious will and plan of God. Nothing can happen unless it's His will. That is not true. That is not true at all. And what people are not understanding, God, why did you do this to me? Or why did you let this happen to me? Or why you're asking the wrong question. Why couldn't God protect you? What interfered with Him taking care of you and keeping you? The problem was not what God was doing to you. The problem is God wasn't involved at all. He wasn't around. And if He's not involved in it and you're on your own, you're in trouble. Can you see this?
Yes,
he said they would see it. They'd come to see it. Are not all these evils come upon us? Because our God is not among us. I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils they have wrought in that they have turned to other gods. What was the problem? And God is not among them. Go to the 32nd chapter, just a page or so over. 32 and about verse 15. Said, Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. You are waxed fat and grown thick. You're covered with fatness. And then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy. With strange gods, with abominations, they provoked him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Is that still a problem today?
Yes.
Not long ago, I was in a country, on the other side of the world, and I went down this street, And there must have been 20 different temples to different gods on each side of the street. And the statues of the gods on the roofs and on the places, this is still just as big an issue as it ever was. And does God owe those people help that blaspheme Him, that reject Him? No. So what does it do? He leaves them to themselves. And so then they're consumed by the curse. He said, of the rock that begat you, you're unmindful. You have forgotten God that formed you. And when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them because of the provoking of His sons and daughters. And He said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. What's the issue? It's not that God is having to destroy somebody for them to be destroyed. He said, I'm just going to leave them alone. See what becomes of them. And at one point, you know, this happened over and over again, this cycle, until at one point they had rejected Him and then come back to Him and rejected Him and replaced Him with false gods and come back to Him. And at one point He said to them, hey, let your new God save you. Go to them, right? And the problem is, those gods never heard a prayer. They can't talk, they can't move, they can't do anything. No, it's not that God is actively destroying anybody. All He has to do is go hands off, and you will be destroyed. The curse is in the earth. We need protection. We need covering. We need help. We need provision, right? And the way to do that is to listen, right? And draw near and stay close. And if you do, He will draw near to you, and you'll be free of the curse and live in the blessing. Hallelujah. And our time's up again today. Aren't you glad to know I'm redeemed from the curse? Hallelujah. And I live in the blessing. Well, we're going to see more detail about what we've been redeemed from tomorrow. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.